But I'd like to take you with me to Matthew chapter 4. Because it was a kind of a maybe call a vision, if you wish, that came. And when our God is on the job, he does things very differently than you and me. And don't want to miss the point. I'll try to be obedient to the best of my ability. And I'd like to give you his word first before we go any further. And verse 12 says, when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum. So again, he's moving. We talked a little bit about some of the things that came into my heart at the beginning of the service tonight, about Jesus moving around from place to place. And my understanding was, you know, from one neighborhood to the next, maybe a couple, 3 miles, but it certainly was far different than that, because when I was in Israel, I tasted a little bit of what kind of a move that meant. So actually from, you know, leaving Nazareth to go to Capernaum, that's probably, I would say, less than 5 miles. It's probably more like 3. So that part was not a major move. But when he was a boy, it was totally, totally different. So, to fulfill, see, he moved to fulfill, verse 14, what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Now, when you take that into consideration, I'd like to remind you that there are things written about you that God has a plan to unfold if you're willing to listen to it. You know, that word that you gave earlier, Gail, is to stay in the Word, you know, and to ponder, such as Joshua did, gives you understanding of the end times and what God wants to do through the end times. And it's not all about escaping. It's more about developing. And I don't know how else to say it, but God's not satisfied with you and me running away. He's looking for a people to dwell in. That's what I tried to bounce into you, or maybe even pound into you on Sunday. And before I could pound it into you, I had to have it pounded into me. That was one of the reasons why I shared what I did. So that you'd understand how hard it is for God to get through to us. Because we're thick. Amen. We are thick. Okay? We have a mind of our own. We have an attitude problem. And we have a lot of pride. We have a lot of whatever. Because I don't want to give you all the details of every flaw that you and I have. That's not the point. The point is, we have a tendency to do it our way. And we have a tendency to think we know better than what God does. But here he's moving to what? To fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. 15 gives you the prophetic. Okay? I haven't moved. Matthew 4. Oh, I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 4. I thought I said it. I didn't say Matthew 4?
No, I didn't hear it either.
Okay. Did I say it? I did say it. I don't want to be right, but I'm right on one. Matthew chapter 4, I'm reading from verse 12 on for a few moments, okay? I'm going to try to give you what I'm hoping will give you a different outlook to what he wants from us. It's not about what happened then, but it's the purposes of God not changing. If that makes any sense to you. The purposes of God never change. He is about to reveal himself in a people. Now verse 15 says, land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. I pressed that in a little bit earlier because it was a place where the Jews couldn't stand. It was a place where people were very liberal, if you wish. And not very holy in the eyes of the great city of Jerusalem and all of its leadership. Verse 16 says, the people living in darkness. The people living in darkness implies what? Sin City. That's what it spells. They have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. So that tells you, the people that were living there were living in the shadow of death. What about today? How many people are living in the shadow of death and don't want to change? They don't want to hear about the Lord. They don't want to hear about His salvation. They don't want to even look at you because you've got light in you. Do I get any amens?
Amen.
They can't stand what's going on inside of you. They want to run the other way. Do you think it was any different for him? And I'm trying to give you an understanding that he was living in the midst of what? Garbage. And people that are emotionally not ready to hear what he had to say. Here's his message, verse 17. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. So he's telling them, change your mind. 18. Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Verse 19 was the theme of what he began to speak to me this afternoon. Come follow me. Quote, quote. Come follow me. Now, if I say to a worker, when I'm on the job, come follow me. What am I expecting out of that helper or assistant?
Obedience.
Also, his 100% attention. If he's interested in learning, he's going to watch what I'm doing and how I'm doing it. He's going to be focused on what I'm about, how I carry myself, how I work, how I put together what I'm doing. And he's observing with everything that I do, and if he's my helper and he's on the job and he's a quality helper, he's going to have eyes to see what needs to be done next, even before I get to it. Bobby, you can relate. Because you've got helpers that are helpers that will do before you actually have to do it. They're already there perceiving what's next. In a beauty parlor, you've got helpers like that. The broom will be out before you have a chance to get it because they're ready. And they're willing to do for you because you're ready to do for them. Seems to me in a flower shop it's not much different. If things fall into the floor and there's a helper around, they're going to be ready to pick it up before you spend down because your quality time is to put things together, not pick up. If they're quality helpers. If. Relate, sir? Whatever job that you have been given to do, if the person that's with you is focused on how and what you're doing, they will do ahead. And the job will be what? Much faster.
Easier.
Fulfilling. Fulfilling for the one who's leading and fulfilling for the one who's helping. Because when he is a quality helper, he perceives what's next. Amen? And it doesn't matter his age or her age. Yes or no? I've seen people in their 60s and 70s that are more awake than the actual 20-year-olds. Because I go to McDonald's and you know what? I get a better service from a 70-year-old than I do from a 20-year-old. Because the 20-year-old's going, oh my God, he's so cute. Oh, she's the gorgeous girl. And they're not thinking hamburgers and hot dogs and whatever. They're thinking about the neighborhood.
and how quality they are so that they can be picked up and connected.
And I won't go any further. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, I will make you.
It's not about you making yourself. It's not about you trying to perform your way into the kingdom. It's about you watching and being observing what he does and how he does it.
And focus on his ability to transform what you are and who you are.
Not a works program. I've got news for you. You can scrub yourself till you turn green. It ain't going to make you a Martian. I've seen so many people pushing and shoving and trying to create themselves into something they're not, rather than being who they are. Jesus didn't say you can't stop being fishermen. Just you're going to start looking at people instead of fish. You're going to be looking and bringing them in, just like you are about to do a work, because I'm going to give you a word. At once they left their nets and followed him. Now, I mean, can you imagine the impact? Okay? Think about it. Would you be ready? Would you follow? Would you do it? Whatever he's asked you to do, would you do it? Or would you do what you decide that is such a great idea? And I've got news for you. I've done both. I've done both, and I've seen the results of both. And some of it really stunk. Because I did it my way, and it was wrong. And I didn't like learning. I had attitude problems. But you know what? I remember the Lord saying to me, he said to me, remember Jonah? I said, yes, Lord. He said, do you think by any figment of your imagination that I didn't know how stubborn he was?
I'll leave it there. Verse 23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching and the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Healing every disease and sickness among the people. Tell me if you think those two fishermen had their eyes wide open.
Do you think they could perceive that they were about to be taught how to do this?
See, keeping your eyes on the Master means that you're going to pick up some hints every time you watch him. And you're going to see more and more his selflessness. This is what happened, 24. News about him spread all over Syria and brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, demon-possessed, those having seizures and paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the regions across the Jordan followed him.
Now, you know, if I was God the Father, I would have left him in Bethlehem.
I would have dressed him up special, make him look real cute. Making sure that he had a chance to, you know, talk to the king and talk to the Roman governors, etc., etc. But God didn't choose that. He didn't choose that. He loves to baffle the wise. Why would he take me out of Three Rivers, Pete, out of Three Rivers,
some of you from different towns and bring us to visit with Linda here in Chicopee. There's not any common sense to that. Huh? It's your fault then, huh? We can blame you. There we go.
I can remember the first Sunday we were in Chicopee. This girl showed up. She was gleaming like a brand new nickel. Full of joy. Why does God do what He does? He has a plan. Go back. When Jesus, verse 12, heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went to live in Capernaum, which was by the lake of the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah.
What are you and I doing? Our job is to fulfill what the prophetic has declared for this area. The byproduct is that the changes will come on the day appointed to please the Father, not to please you and me. Not to please you and me. Many times, we don't comprehend what God is doing. Now I want you to look to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And this is basically the same message, okay?
One day as Jesus was standing, verse 1, by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, asked him to put out a little more from the shore. Or a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Watch the reasoning. Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night. Haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners on the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." So the byproduct of being with Jesus, he saw his own sin. The byproduct of following the Lord, you will see your own sin. You will see your own attitude. The spotlight's going to be on the things that you need to get rid of. And you can't do it on your own. But if you ask Him to, He'll do it. Because that's the lover that you are serving. And the more you see the darkness, the more excited you and I should get, because we know there's a day of victory. And when that fullness of Him can occupy, that means because you've made room. If your living room is full of furniture and you've ordered a truckload to come in, you're going to have to take out the old to begin to put in the new. I was a furniture dealer. I know how that works. And we would tell people, "Oh, we're coming on such and such a day." "Oh, yeah, sure. And we want you to have the room empty." Yee-hee! Bobby, shake your head. Right? Do they ever listen? How many times have you ever walked into the room where you're going to do some work and everything is a mess? And you have to do all the work, and let's face it, they don't want you to charge them for what they should have done, so they're upset because you are the bad guy. Amen. Amen. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he had all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon and his partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid, from now on you will catch men."
And you know what? That's what's happening.
I believe we're at that place where we have been listening and following. And we've been doing for 7 years. And not perfectly. Just like Peter, I know more than anybody else I'm a sinful man. And I'm not ashamed to say I see my sin. I am still crying out to get the victory over it. And the only one that can do it is Him. Because I tried scrubbing. And you know what? I turned green, purple, red, whatever. And you know, not a planet on earth wanted me. Not a town wanted me. But the Lord said, "I can clean you up." Watch verse 11. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed Him.
Left everything, followed Him.
Would you say a short prayer with me? Say, "Lord Jesus, give me your opinion of myself and of those around me,
and the grace to carry out
constructive words,
compassionate words,
life-giving words,
to my body,
to my soul,
my mind, my will and emotions,
and my spirit.
That's the least I can do.
So help me do it, Lord.
For your glory.
May the anointing of the Holy One of Israel be with you as you go forth, and we'll see you soon. And like I said,